Hey there, ready to dive into something big?
I'm game.
Today we're tackling the global health gap.
Huge topic.
It is. And we've got this Queen's University course guide as our map.
Oh, interesting. I've heard good things about that.
It's all about closing the gap in health.
Now that might sound dry,
It might.
but trust me, the stuff in here is mind-blowing.
Totally agree. The differences are staggering.
Really highlights how much work needs to be done.
Okay, so paint a picture for me. Just how big is this gap?
Imagine two newborns,
All right.
same day, different parts of the world.
Gotcha.
One's born in a high-income country, likely to live well into their 80s.
Okay, makes sense.
The other born in a low-income country might only reach their 50s.
Whoa.
That's a 32-year difference
That's a whole
and
generation.
whole generation
That's
lost.
heartbreaking, 32 years.
It's a lot, yeah.
What's causing such a drastic difference?
Is it just about wealth?
Yeah, is
It's
that.
more complex than that.
I figured.
The guide dives into what are called the social determinants of health.
Okay, I've heard of this.
Things like access to clean water, nutritious food,
Right.
stable housing, education,
Oh.
even job security.
So many
All
facts.
these factors create a ripple effect,
I see.
impacting everything from childhood development to chronic disease risk.
Wow. So it's not just about being rich or poor.
Oh.
It's about the circumstances you're born into,
Yeah.
which then snowballed into affecting your health throughout life.
Precisely.
And this social gradient, as the guide calls it, exists everywhere.
It really does.
Even within wealthier countries, you see this pattern.
Yeah.
The more advantages you have, the healthier you tend to be.
Got it.
It's like climbing a ladder,
I like that analogy.
where each rung represents better access to those essential things that contribute to good health.
Absolutely.
So someone on a higher rung might have access to the best health care,
Yeah.
organic food, a safe neighborhood to exercise in,
All those things.
while someone lower down is struggling just to put food on the table.
Right. They might be working multiple jobs, living in a polluted area,
Oh, God.
constantly stressed about making ends meet.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All those factors take a toll on their health, and it shows up in those stark life expectancy differences.
Like the deck is stacked against them from the start.
Unfortunately, sometimes it feels that way.
So knowing this gap exists, and why it exists,
Yeah.
what can we actually do to close it?
Good question.
Is it even possible?
I think so.
Okay, good.
That's where the WHO's Closing the Gap report comes in.
Okay.
And this course guide really digs into it.
Love that.
They've laid out a plan
Awesome.
aiming to level the playing field within a generation.
Okay, ambitious.
Ambitious, but they break it down into three clear goals.
Okay, let's hear them. All right.
Goal number one.
Improve daily living conditions.
Okay.
This is huge, EE.
All right, tell me more.
And it gets to the heart of those social determinants we were just talking about.
I'm with you.
Think about it. 200 million children worldwide.
Aren't reaching their full potential because of unhealthy early years.
200 million. That's a massive loss of human potential.
It really is.
So this goal is about ensuring everyone has that solid foundation, those basic needs met, so
Right.
they have a fighting chance.
Exactly.
It's about safe housing access to nutritious food quality, early childhood education.
Yep. All those fundamental building blocks that set kids up for success.
Okay, what's the second goal?
Addressing power imbalances.
Okay.
Money talks.
Always.
And unfortunately, that means the voices of the wealthy often drown out those who are struggling.
Yeah, it's a tough reality.
This goal is about leveling the playing field, making sure everyone has a say in the decisions that affect their health.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, it
true.
makes
Yeah.
sense, right?
Yeah, totally. It's like those David versus Goliath
I
situations.
see what you mean.
A small community trying to fight against a polluting factory being built nearby.
Ugh, yeah. I hate when that happens.
But they don't have the resources or the political clout to make a difference.
Sadly, that's often the case. And the guide points to some shocking examples of this playing out, even in a country like Canada.
It's true.
Remote Indigenous communities, for example,
Yeah.
often face huge barriers to accessing quality health care.
It's a real problem.
It's a powerful reminder that these power imbalances exist everywhere.
They really do.
So this goal is about giving those communities a voice,
Yes.
making sure their needs are heard and
That's
addressed. And
exactly.
the final goal is all about accountability,
Love it.
measuring and monitoring progress.
It's crucial.
So tracking those social determinants we talked about,
Yep.
seeing if those life expectancy numbers are actually shifting.
Yes. It's about collecting data, not just on health outcomes,
Right.
but also on the effectiveness of different interventions.
Makes sense. So are those new policies working?
Exactly.
Are those community programs making a difference?
Are they?
You can't fix what you don't track.
You can't.
It's like that saying, what gets measured gets managed.
I like that one.
Okay, so these goals are great in theory.
They are.
But are there actually examples of them working in the real world?
Oh, yeah.
I need some hope here.
Don't worry, there's plenty.
Phew. Okay, good.
This guide is packed with inspiring stories of communities and organizations making a real difference.
Give me one. Something that really shows these goals in action.
Oh, picture this.
I'm picturing it.
Construction sites in India bustling with activity.
Okay, I see it.
But amidst the noise and dust, there are now these vibrant daycare centers full of children learning and playing.
Wait, daycare centers?
Yeah.
On construction sites?
Yep.
What?
It's a program called Mobile Crutches.
Okay.
And it's tackling multiple goals at once.
Interesting. How so?
It's improving the children's health and development, giving them that crucial early childhood boost.
Right.
While also allowing their parents to work more productively.
Wow. That's brilliant. It's a win-win.
It is.
Addressing those social determinants of health. And boosting economic opportunity at the same time.
Exactly. And it shows that these solutions don't have to be complicated.
Sometimes simple is best.
Sometimes it's about simple, practical interventions that meet people where they are.
Okay. I'm feeling a little more optimistic now.
Good.
But I have to ask.
Yeah. What's that?
Is it really possible to close this gap within a generation?
Mm-hmm.
It seems so massive.
It is a huge task.
Right.
And it will require effort from all sides.
True.
But the guide makes a crucial point.
Which is?
It's not just about relying on doctors and hospitals.
Yeah, you're right. We can't just throw medicine at the problem.
We can't.
And expect it to go away.
Nope. We need action from governments, businesses, communities. Everyone has a role to play in creating a world where health isn't a privilege, but a right.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
So what does that look like in practice? What kind of actions are we talking about?
Well, one thing that really jumped out at me in this guide was the section on intersectoral action. It's this idea that it also emphasized the sheer number of solutions already in motion.
Oh, that's good of you.
It's not just about big policy changes. It's about everyday people making a difference.
Yeah. See, I think a lot of us listening might feel overwhelmed. Like, what can I possibly do about a problem this massive?
Totally understandable.
Yeah.
It's easy to feel powerless in the face of such huge challenges.
It is.
But that's where this guide is so helpful.
How so?
It provides practical steps anyone can take.
Okay. I like that.
Starting right in our own backyards.
Start small.
Exactly.
Okay. So what are some things we can actually do to make a difference?
Well, first things first.
Okay.
Arm yourself with knowledge.
Classic.
The guide dives deep into everything from policy changes to inspiring stories of grassroots movements.
A lot of info in there.
There is. The more you understand the issues, the better equipped you'll be to spot opportunities for action.
So knowledge is power.
Always.
What comes after we've done our homework?
Take a look around your community.
Okay.
What are the social determinants of health at play?
What do you mean?
Are there disparities in access to healthcare, education, affordable housing? Are certain groups facing discrimination?
Hmm. So it's about connecting those global trends we've been discussing our local reality.
Exactly. Once you see those needs, you can start exploring ways to get involved.
Okay, makes sense.
And one of the simplest yet most powerful ways is volunteering.
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 Seems almost too basic.
I know, right?
Can that really move the needle on something this big?
Trust me, it can. There are countless organizations working to address those social determinants of health we talked about.
Oh, bet.
Both locally and globally.
Wow.
They all need dedicated volunteers.
So give me some examples. What kind of places are we talking about?
Think back to those social determinants. Housing, education, jobs, access to healthy food.
Okay, I remember.
You could volunteer at a homeless shelter, a food bank, an after-school program.
Oh, yeah. Good ones.
Even just helping an elderly neighbor get groceries can make a huge difference in their life.
That's true.
Yeah.
And it doesn't require any special skills, just a willingness to help.
Exactly. And don't underestimate the power of simply listening to people's stories.
Oh, that's good.
Sometimes just amplifying the voices of those who are struggling can be a powerful form of advocacy.
Right. Like if you know someone struggling to access healthcare.
Yeah.
Share their story right to your local representative.
Exactly.
It could feel small, but those individual voices can add up.
They really can. Every voice counts.
Yeah.
And if you're feeling a bit more ambitious.
Okay, feeling ambitious.
You can always take it up a notch with donating.
Donating?
Donating.
Does that really make a difference?
Yeah.
What can my $20 really do?
Every little bit counts. Lots of organizations rely on donations to run their programs.
I suppose so.
And even small amounts add up.
What if donating money just isn't in the cards right now?
No problem.
Okay, good.
You can donate your time, your skills.
I like that.
If you're a whiz with websites,
yeah.
Offer to build one for a local nonprofit, love to cook, volunteer at a soup kitchen. It's about finding ways to contribute what you can, where you can.
Love that. It's about finding that unique contribution you can make. Okay, so we've got volunteering, donating. What else can we do on a personal level?
This might sound a bit out there.
Okay, I'm listening.
But the guide actually talks about the power of ethical consumerism.
Ethical consumerism. Explain that one to me.
It's about being mindful of the companies you support with your purchases.
Okay.
Choose businesses committed to fair labor practices, sustainability, and giving back to the community.
I'm voting with your wallet.
Think so.
Supporting companies that align with your values.
Precisely. And speaking of voting.
Oh, here we go.
One of the most impactful things you can do is engage in the political process.
Okay. So vote in elections. What else?
It's more than just casting a ballot.
Okay, sure.
It's about staying informed about the issues, contacting your elected officials, advocating for policies that promote health equity.
So write letters, make phone calls, attend town hall meetings.
Yep.
Really make your voice heard.
Exactly. And hey, if you're feeling really passionate, consider running for office yourself.
Wait me. Run for office.
Hear me out. You don't have to aim for the White House right away. Start local.
Local, okay.
Your school board, city council, even a community organization. Bringing those big ideas about closing the gap down to your local level can make a huge difference.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. Maybe not today,
uh-huh.
But someday. It is inspiring to see how much potential we have as individuals to make a difference.
It is.
But what about those power imbalances we talked about earlier?
Oh, yeah.
Those seem so entrenched. How do we tackle those?
That's where collective action comes in.
Okay.
Dismantling those power structures requires a joint effort.
I hear that.
We need to band together to challenge systems of oppression and advocate for social justice.
So joining forces with others who are fighting for the same causes?
Exactly. Support grassroots movements, attend protests, speak out against injustice. There's strength in numbers.
It's not just about individual actions, then it's about working together to create systemic change.
Absolutely. And your own personal networks can be a powerful starting point. Talk to your friends and family. Share what you've learned from this deep dive.
Word of mouth.
Exactly. You never know who you might inspire to take action.
It's about those everyday conversations that can plant seeds of awareness and spark action.
And don't forget the power of social media.
Ah, yes.
Sharing articles, videos, infographics about global health inequities can reach a huge audience.
So using social media for good. Not just for cute cat videos.
Uh-huh, exactly. The more people who are aware of these issues, the more likely we are to see real change happen.
Okay, we've covered individual action, collective action.
Uh-huh.
But what about institutions?
Yes.
What can they do to close this gap?
They've got a huge responsibility.
For sure.
The guide highlights the roles of governments, businesses, healthcare providers, and educational institutions.
Thanks, Sen.
They're the ones with the power to enact those large-scale systemic changes we need.
Okay, let's start with governments. What kind of role can they play?
Governments hold the keys to creating policies that promote health equity.
In what way?
Think about it. Universal healthcare, affordable housing, quality education, environmental protection.
Right.
These are all things that governments can implement to level the playing field.
So it's about ensuring everyone has a chance to live a healthy life.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of their background or income.
Exactly. And it's crucial that we hold governments accountable for actually fulfilling that responsibility.
Totally agree. Mm-hmm. How do we do that? I feel like one person's voice can get lost in the crowd sometimes.
It starts with voting.
Okay.
Choosing leaders who prioritize health equity.
Voting matters.
It does. But it goes beyond that.
What else?
Contact your representatives, advocate for policies that matter to you, and hold those in power accountable for their actions.
So it's about using our voices and our votes to demand change.
Exactly.
What about businesses? What can they do?
The guide dives into the concept of corporate social responsibility.
I've heard that term.
It's the idea that businesses have a responsibility to operate ethically, sustainably, and in a way that benefits society as a whole.
So it's not just about profits. It's about considering their impact on people and the planet.
Precisely. And there are so many ways businesses can step up.
Such as?
They can ensure fair labor practices, paying living wages, and providing safe working conditions.
Especially in those global supply chains where exploitation is all too common.
Sadly, yes. It's about using their economic power for good, not just for maximizing profits.
I bet.
They can source their materials ethically supporting sustainable practices. They can invest in community development projects, support health initiatives, donate to organizations fighting for health equity.
So it's about aligning their business practices with their values.
Yes.
Walking the talk.
Exactly. And consumers can play a role here, too, by supporting businesses that are committed to those ethical practices.
Right back to that ethical consumerism.
Yep.
Okay, we've talked about governments and businesses.
Uh-huh.
What about healthcare providers?
Yeah.
Those on the front lines.
The guide emphasizes the importance of culturally competent care.
What does that mean?
It's about healthcare providers being sensitive to the cultural beliefs, practices, and needs of diverse patients.
So being aware of your own biases.
Right.
Understanding different cultural contexts and tailoring your care accordingly.
Precisely. And it goes beyond individual providers.
In what way?
Healthcare institutions need to create systems that support culturally competent care.
Like hiring a diverse workforce.
Yeah.
Providing language interpretation services, offering training on cultural sensitivity.
Exactly. It's about creating a healthcare system that is truly accessible and welcoming to everyone, regardless of their background.
Makes a lot of sense. Okay, last but not least, what about educational institutions?
They're vital.
I agree.
For shaping future generations of leaders, thinkers, and change makers.
Definitely.
The guide stresses the importance of incorporating global health equity into the curriculum.
So offering courses on things like the social determinants of health.
Yeah.
Global health disparities and strategies for creating change.
Exactly. And it goes beyond classroom learning.
How so?
Universities can conduct research on these issues, partner with community organizations, advocate for policies that promote health equity.
It's about equipping students with the knowledge and skills to be part of the solution.
Well said. It's about empowering them to be informed, engaged, and compassionate citizens who are committed to creating a more just and equitable world.
Wow, we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
We've explored the disparities, the causes, the solutions.
So much good stuff.
But as we wrap up this part of our deep dives,
yeah,
I'm left wondering, what does the future hold?
Good question.
Is there hope for a world where everyone has a chance to live a long, healthy life?
That's the million-dollar question. The challenges are huge, but I do believe there's reason for hope.
Okay, I need to hear this. Why are you hopeful?
Okay.
I need to hear this.
Why are you hopeful?
Yeah.
Because we're already seeing progress. Global poverty rates have been declining for decades. Access to education is expanding, especially for girls. And there's a growing awareness of the importance of social determinants of health and health equity.
So we're moving in the right direction. Even if it's slow.
Exactly. We're on the right path, but the journey is far from over.
I hear that.
It will require continued effort, collaboration, and innovation to overcome these deeply entrenched inequities.
And we can't afford to get complacent.
No, we can't.
Thinking the problem is solved just because we're making progress.
Absolutely not. The stakes are too high. The health and well-being of billions of people around the world depend on our collective action.
So what's the key takeaway here? What's the one thing we should all remember as we move forward?
This guide offers a powerful message of hope and action.
I like that.
It reminds us that we all have a role to play in creating a more equitable and just world.
Right.
Whether through individual choices, community efforts, or institutional change, each of us can contribute to closing the gap in global health.
And it sounds like we can't afford to wait.
We can't.
The time for action is now.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Now, before we wrap up entirely, there's one final thought I want to leave you with.
Okay. I'm intrigued. What kind of perspective shift are we talking about?
We've spent this whole deep dive talking about the gap between high-income and low-income countries.
Right. Makes sense.
But what if we flip that lens for a moment?
Okay. Interesting.
What can we learn from those who have less?
Oh, I like that.
It's easy to fall into that developed world knows best mindset.
It is.
But there's this growing realization that low-income countries often have incredible ingenuity and resilience that we can learn from.
Okay, give me an example. I'm all ears.
Think about community health workers.
Oh.
We touched on them earlier. In places where doctors and hospitals are scarce, these workers are lifesavers.
They are.
Providing basic care, health education, and a crucial link to the healthcare system.
Makes sense. They're often trusted members of the community too, right?
Yeah, they are.
Bridging that gap between formal healthcare and the people who need it most.
Exactly. And what's exciting is that we're seeing this model being adapted in high-income countries, too.
Right.
Imagine trained community health workers in underserved urban areas or rural communities.
Okay. Yeah, I can see it.
Bringing healthcare directly to the people, breaking down those barriers of access and cost.
That's amazing. I love that.
It's taking a solution that was born out of necessity and applying it to address inequities, even in wealthier nations.
And it's not just about healthcare delivery.
It's not.
Think about microfinance. That started in developing countries, providing small loans to help people start businesses and lift themselves out of poverty.
Exactly.
Empowering people to create their own opportunities instead of relying on traditional aid.
And now we're seeing microfinance initiatives popping up in high-income countries, too.
Wow.
Providing those same opportunities to entrepreneurs in underserved communities.
Amazing.
It's about tackling those systemic issues that contribute to the gap.
This is blowing my mind. I love this two-way exchange of knowledge.
Me too.
It's not about one side having all the answers.
Right.
It's about recognizing that every country has something to offer.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that innovation can come from anywhere.
That's so true.
And sometimes the most effective solutions are the ones born out of necessity and community ingenuity.
This has been such an eye-opening deep dive.
It has.
I feel like I've gone from feeling overwhelmed to actually empowered.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Like, I can be part of the solution even in small ways.
You can. That's the goal. Remember, every action counts. Every conversation matters.
I'll remember that.
Whether you're volunteering, donating, educating yourself, or simply having these conversations with your friends and family, you're contributing to this movement.
So to wrap things up, what's that one final thought you want to leave our listeners with?
Keep learning, keep questioning, and most importantly, keep acting. The journey to closing the gap in global health starts with each one of us.
Until next time, happy diving.